Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 168, part 1. Jesus trusted in God to deliver. Can we? Today is Friday, October 8th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you live anywhere in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Also, join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find scripture links within the messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. For the month of October, these are the following messages: God's peace, wonderful peace; Jesus trusted in God to deliver, can we; live life earnestly; sow in the wind, reap under clouds; and made willing. So have a great month of October. We'll see you back here every week, both Friday and Sunday. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Jesus Trusted in God to Deliver. Can we? It says, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now. And these are the people that were wagging their tongues. Okay. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Matthew 27 and 43. And you see, these words are a fulfillment of the prophecy that's contained in the 22nd Psalm. Listen to this prophetic utterance in David's Psalm here. It says, like, all they that see me laugh at me in scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And so thus to the letter doth our Lord answer the ancient prophecy. And see, the enemies answered it. They spoke it. I mean, he all the way through all of this, he could say, like he said when he was asked the question, are you the Son of God? You said it. And they said it for him. They fulfilled prophecy. And even now, our enemies all over the world are fulfilling prophecy. What a picture. Here is our blessed master surrounded by a bunch of motley characters. There were rich there, and there were poor there, and there were Jews and Gentiles doing the popular thing, tearing down. Isn't that popular where you work? You're listening to this radio message or the tape. Where you work, what's popular where you work? Tearing down. What's popular when you're on strike on both sides? Tearing down. See, in the world, it's the popular thing to do to tear down, isn't it? But anyway, some were standing there and some were staring and some were laying down and staring. And I see others there that move about in a restless gratification at the event. I mean, they're thrilled with it. What's happening? Where you been lately? And they're all nervous and restless and waiting for the thing to go down, don't you see? And waiting for the thing to happen. Isn't that human nature? Aren't we that way? Oh, God. But they were moving about in sort of a restless, get the picture now, a restless gratification at the event. See, innocent event, it really is. And when the world sees the Church of Jesus Christ suffer in these end times, it's going to be an event. Yeah, I told you. Now they got the shows, the evangelists on there, and they mock him, and they shoot their lip at him, and they do all these things, and they gather in scandal, and they do all this junk. And they just get into it, don't you see? And that's what they're going to be doing in the very end. We don't want to be part of that, do we? See, it's a sort of a restless gratification at the event. It's a waiting for the thing to come down. I think many times people thrive on someone else's misfortune. Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? I hear that all the time. Pastor Paul, have you heard what happened to so-and-so? No, and I really don't care. I really don't care. I think you should just pray about it. Maybe if you want me to pray about it with you, then I'll listen to it. But other than that, I really don't care to hear someone else's misfortunes. I have enough of my own. Thank you. Goodbye. Say amen, somebody. And that's the way it is with people, and that's the way it was with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a picture, though, surrounded by all these motley characters? I said, the rich and the poor and the Jew and the Gentile and the terror downers and the people that were sightseeing and the people that were laying down sightseeing. And then there's a lot of standers and a lot of sitting people, a lot of dead people. They're sort of thrilled inwardly with the seeming failure. Isn't that the way we are? I mean, all of us to some degree until we catch it and we allow the Lord to deal with us. We have that Colosseum spirit. It's weird, but it's there, isn't it? I see them there with a look of satisfaction on each one's face. Some trying to act like they weren't satisfied and some trying to act like they were sorry. But it says that no one was silent. Every tongue, every finger, every eye, every lip is shot out there, and they're all busy. Now, even the guards get into the act, and he jams one of these rags that's on the end of a stick full of vinegar up into the Lord's mouth. Insult to injury. See, death was not enough. Scorn must come. The legalist must wrap his judge's robes around his self-righteous body, don't you see, and shoot out his lip. Those who watched, it says, made sport of his prayer and insulted his faith. Nothing was sacred to them. Are you hearing this? They invaded the holy of holies of the Lord's, let's say, of his confidence in God. Now, it's a funny thing. If somebody really has a confidence in God, a lot of times you'll see people attack that. Well, what if? And, I mean, you know, you prayed, but what if? And do you think he'll really take you off of this cross that you're bearing right now? I wonder. I'm going to wait, see. I'm going to sit down here and have me a ham and cheese on rye and a bottle of Pepsi and just relax here and see if it's really you're going to be delivered out of this terrible thing. You will be. Yeah, you'll never be disappointed if you trust in the Lord. You will be delivered. Now, do you believe that? Or do you want to stand over here with the people that don't know for sure? The doubting Thomases, the people that shoot out the lip, the scorners, the scandal finders, the whatever that's going to come in the end in a great abundance. How many are hearing this? And see, we can be part of that very motley crew, can't we? No, I don't want to be one of those. I want to be one of those that says, I am going to trust in the Lord to deliver me. Now, we faced some kind of a huge bill here the last 3 or 4 weeks ago. We needed like $19,000, and it all came in. How did it come in? We trusted in the Lord to deliver. And He delivered. By mail, by foot, a horseback, camel, mule, I don't care, it got here. Well, how did it come? I don't care, it came. I trusted in the Lord. A camel brought it. Is that good enough for you? You see, that's what we have to do, and that's what we have to get into. And people will make sport of your prayers. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe you need the peace of God that passes all understanding. Well, it's yours. Simply call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble. He'll be there. And probably you'll get more trouble right then and there to test you out. Lord, I'm in trouble. I don't have any peace. And more trouble will come to check you out to see if you're ready for the blessing. Did you hear that? You see, if you can be destroyed and you go down in this thing, well, you're not trusting in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord to deliver? And while, by the way, while you're trusting in the Lord to deliver, get busy doing the Lord's work. Now, that means you trust in the Lord. That means you believe that God is. And so you're busy doing God's work. And Jesus, even when He was on the cross, trusted in God and ministered from the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said, Father, they don't know what they're doing. And they taunted Him concerning the faith in Jehovah, which they themselves were compelled to admit. They said it. He trusted in God. They were compelled to do this. But anyway, you see what an evil thing this sin is? Just look at the pain and look at the suffering and look at the contempt on Jesus Christ, the sin bearer. He bore all these sins, it says. He bore all these sicknesses. Now you say, what sins did He bear? All of them. Maybe you're listening out there are a homosexual. Jesus took care of that on the cross. Simply receive your deliverance. Trust in God to deliver you from that thing. Trust in God to deliver you out of a financial difficulty. Trust in God, and maybe you'll get poorer for a time. Maybe some of the things will be taken away from you that you don't need. But behold also, as we go on, how He loved us. For our sake, He, it says, endured the cross, despising the shame. I mean, He loved us so much that even the scorn of the most cruel sort He dared to bear, that He might take away our shame and enable us then to look unto God with a clear conscience. Now, someone out there is saying, well, I don't have a clear conscience, and I'll never have a clear conscience because I just it isn't in me. I don't know how to have one. Well, just simply trust in the Lord. Have you tried that lately, trusting in the Lord? Maybe you're going through something right now. Trust in the Lord. See, but this treatment of the Lord Jesus Christ by men, I think, is the very clearest of proof that, of the depravity of man, of our lack of love. Now, if you just say that you have love, none of us have it. I certainly don't. Without the grace of God giving me some, I wouldn't have a speck for anybody, especially when they come against me. Can you say amen on that one? And but see, you have to go ahead and you have to check this out. You have to say, these are stony hearts indeed which can laugh at a dying Savior and can mock even at His faith in God. And I think right then and there, compassion deserted humanity while malice took over. And I think we're in the throes of that right now. I think malice is going to take over. I think you're going to see a depravity in man that you've never, ever seen before. And you're going to see nation against nation, household against household, brother against sister against brother, and so on like that. And you're really going to see what people are really made out of when they dare to trust God in the work that's entrusted to them. So anyway, in your whole mind, sort of paint this picture. got on a cross, and as the song says, on a hill far away, an offering of suffering and shame, nailed upon a cross, and men down below, get the pictures, like animals, mocking and hissing and carrying on and shooting out their lip and saying mockingly, "He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him now, seeing he delighted in him." Do you delight in the Lord? Well, then you're going to bear a cross. Then you're going to have things happen in your life like what you never thought would happen before. And are you going to be able to trust the Lord in that situation? Are you going to be able to be that witness in this end times that dared to trust God against all the popular opinions? But anyway, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him now, seeing that he delighted in him. Okay, you trusted in God. Now let's see your God do something. And so we see our Lord as a substitute in his sorrow and in the shame. But we must also, I believe, not forget to see him as our representative. Sometimes God sends representatives, even now, that represent Jesus Christ, that will bear affliction, that will bear shame, that will bear scorn, that will bear a cross, that will dare to go through, that will dare to go ahead and trust the Lord in the situation. And God is sending people like that right now that will dare to believe God and be a representative. And so this message today relates to us also. See, you don't have to say a whole lot. You don't have to explain yourself. Simply become Christ-like. Having done all, stand and do what you're supposed to do, and that's all God wants out of any of us. Dare to trust in the Lord. But anyway, that I find that appears in the Psalms many, many times to relate to David is found in the Gospels to relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times we can't distinguish between the two. I mean, this shows us that Jesus is a pattern of his people. Now you have a pattern to follow. You have someone to follow. Now you start to follow Jesus, and you're going to go through the things that Jesus went through. Now if you balk and you sit down and you start to get into wondering and you start to get into questioning, you aren't going to follow the Lord. And in the end time, you're going to have to follow Jesus. I mean, like never before. It's going to be a cut and dried thing. There'll be no excuses. There'll be no clubs that you can join. There'll be no special groups you can join because they'll be locking them up left and right. Now, even in some parts of Florida down there, you can't meet. No more than three or four people can meet, and they cannot crack a Bible open down there. That's here in the United States. Now, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to dare to trust in God? Every once in a while, we have trouble going out into the streets. I think we had about $200 worth of tickets on our vehicles. Do you believe, do you trust in God to, you know, pay those fines because we parked our vehicles here or we parked our vehicles there? There's people out there waiting for us, don't you know? Do we dare to trust in the Lord? Yes, we have a pattern to follow. We don't have to say a whole lot. We don't have to argue. We don't have to debate. We simply say, "You said it." We move on. We keep on doing what the Lord has called us to do. But he not only suffers as our substitute, but he suffers before us as our pattern, I said. And it says, and in him we see our measure to endure. Isn't that a kind of a weird word? Endure. Doesn't even sound real, does it? Endure. Endure. You know why it sounds strange? No one uses it. No one endures. It's a strange word to many people. What'd you say? I said endure. What a funny word, endure. What does it mean, endure? Is it someone's name, endure? Certainly isn't yours, sir. Say that word, endure. You on the radio, say that word, endure. You on the tape, say that word, endure. You know what it means? Start following Jesus Christ and you'll find out what it means. See, so many people connect this to unbelief. What do you mean endure? He already endured for me. He endured the cross. He endured the shame. He endured the pain. I don't have to endure anything. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong teaching. Well, I just went to a teaching. They backed it up by Scripture. You only read a couple of pieces of Scripture. You want to prove yourself? What's that word again? Endure. Now you're getting more used to it? Huh? Get used to it because you're going to have to use it all the time. What are you doing? Oh, I'm enduring. Yeah, what are you enduring? Doing. See, you can endure. You can endure this. You can endure your church. You can endure the collection plate. Oh, here they come again. But what are we enduring? See, enduring is for Christ's sake. But they start to connect this in the modern preaching to unbelief. Pastor Paul, can I say something? Just a brief phone call. I know that you're a very busy man. I said, well, I'm glad that you said that. Now you know I'm active before that you lay me out. But I just wanted to tell you something. This word endure, we really don't have to do that. I mean, that smacks to me of unbelief. Well, it means the church doesn't have no power. Well, I says, have you ever heard the word endure? Problem is, the church is going to have to endure. Oh, how wrong they are. It says in the Bible, as he is, so are we also in this world. Well, how was he? Born in a barn? No place to lay his head? No room in the inn? Are you hearing this? Well, yeah, but probably he wasn't using his faith. He's your faith. He's your faith. You think there's no struggle, no problems, nothing? See, we also must be crucified to the world. And then we may look for some of those same tests of our faith. The taunts, the shooting out of the lip. Well, that's why they say in the world, they're so smart they give Scripture, you don't even know it. Don't give me none of your lip. The hatred, the scorn, the contempt, the loss of friends. Oh, there goes another one. Oh. So? All the books of all the world could not contain the many, many miracles that Jesus Christ did. Only a few were mentioned in the Bible. And how many friends did he have, my friend? In the end, he had 11 of them. One had already ran down the road, hung himself, fell on his face, and there was 11 standing on a hill far away. That must have been lonesome. That must have been a lonesome place to be upon a cross and to look down and to look out on a hill far away and 11 of the trusted people out there, his followers, his main people out there on a hill far away. Where have all the people gone? Long time they've been gone. Whew. Whoa. Preacher, are you going through that? Oh, hey, don't be surprised. And the finger pointing from the legal beagles, which go with such a crucifixion. When you're in trouble, folks. And in the end, preachers, people, all of us, when we're in trouble, there is a crucifixion. There is a denying of yourself. And there is a loss of friends. There's the taunts. There's the hatred. There's the scorn. There's the contempt. There's the finger pointing. And so you can look for it. You can expect it. And he says in the Bible, rejoice in your trials. Why? You know that you're on right now. It says in the Bible, marvel not if the world hates you. I hate you. You ever had anybody say that to you? I can't stand your guts. Well, you know very little about my guts. How can you hate them? And you know, you hear someone like that and you have to be forgiving because for the grace of God, you could say the same thing back. I hate church too. Can't stand the ground you walk on. Get up. See how we need the cross daily? But anyway, you're going to have to suffer without the gate. What does that mean? That means that Jesus had to go outside of the gate, go out of the normal realm of living, go outside of the family, let's say, and he had to suffer outside the gate. Not for the world's redemption. No, I'm not talking about that. But for the accomplishment of divine purposes in you and through you, and through you to what? I mean, the sons of men, you must be made to know the cross, hallelujah, and its shame. And I hear someone saying on the radio right now, negative. My friends, the Bible says, no cross, no crown. And I hear the person saying, not in line with prosperity. And I hear someone else chiming in, little wifey poo. I hear her chiming in, the husband and the wife chiming in together. You know what I'm saying? I hear them chiming together. Or maybe one of the kids, not in line with faith. I'll tell you something that I've learned. The cross is the only way to prosperity. Now, if Jesus, God, prospered, he prospered by way of the cross. And if we are going to prosper, we're going to prosper by way of the cross. Our faith will always lead us to a cross. If you're working and walking in faith, it will always take you inevitably and always towards a cross. Isn't Jesus Christ the mirror of the church? I mean, what the head endured, every member of the body will also have to endure in its measure. And so don't be surprised in the end if you're called to what? Endure. Got to get used to that word. Endure. Be a lot easier if you learned how to endure. See, if we don't know how to endure, how will we ever endure? Does that sound crazy? I'm trying to get the word across. There's going to be an enduring. Don't you endure with your kids? Huh? Well, you have to endure things. Endure. Say that word again. Okay, let's read on in the text in this light then. Here we see Jesus suffered instead of us, and that, I said, makes us love him with all of our souls, when we really see that in the spiritual realm. Here we see also, as in a prophecy, how great things we are to suffer for his sake at the hands of men. This is a prelude to what's going to happen. It's coming. Now, you start to look at the Word of God and you read the Word of God, you're going to see many martyrs in there. There's going to be a lot of martyrs. Mark it down. See, when we really start to understand what he has done, then because of love, we then understand what we must do. See, it says, if you really love me, you will obey me. That's another word, obey. Say that word, obey. First, we observe then the acknowledgement with which the text begins. He trusted God. The enemies of Christ, listen to them, they admitted his faith in God. I mean, they could call him all the names that they wanted to, but they had to admit that he trusted God. And then number two, we're going to go on and we're going to consider the test, which is the essence of this very taunt. Let him deliver him if he will have him. I mean, if God wants him, let him deliver him. How many know God wants you? There is no way that he'll not want you. And especially when you trust in him. Do you ever have your little kid come up and he trusts in you so much? My dad said, my mom said, my dad said, my mom said, mom says. They trust every word you say. We betray that trust a lot of times, but God never betrays. God is not a man that says that he should lie. Do you believe you can trust in the Lord? I do. I really do. I believe that you can trust in God. Well, even if you slay me, I'll trust in you. That's what the Bible says. Look what happened. I trusted in you. Now I got a spear in my head. A big arrow pointing through your head here. But anyway, then after we have taken these two things into our minds, then let's go on and let's consider the answer to this test and to this taunt which relate to us. God does deliver his people. And also, we should trust him and have no reason to be ashamed of our faith. So number one, let's observe the acknowledgement which these mockers made of our Lord's faith. He trusted in God. Isn't that wonderful? Now they're all down there and they're making a public confession. They're fulfilling prophecy by their own mouth and they're saying, he trusted God. Well, it really wasn't an insult. I mean, if you're going through something and everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with you and you just keep right on trusting God, what can they say about you? Well, one thing about the guy, he trusted God. That's pretty beautiful, isn't it? Ah, look where I got you. You're on a cross, sonny boy. Huh? Look at you. Now, look at Paul. Now you got a cross to bear. Look at you. And the lip will flip out, and maybe you're trusting God for a job, or maybe you're trusting God for something else. There will be a cross to bear. There'll be onlookers. There'll be telephone calls. Get a job yet? Do you trust God? I do. There's nobody else to trust. That's one of my main reasons for trusting God. You can't trust anybody else. I don't leave you much. I mean, there's nobody else to trust. Who can you trust? Name me one person, and don't say selfie poo. It won't work. You trust yourself to be the same every day? Change like the weather. Oh, it'd be nice if you were like that northwestern weather ball so we could tell where you're going to be, red and green and so on like that. You walk in and say, green, fair weather, praise God. Are you trusting in yourself lately? Oh, you end up so mean when you trust yourself. Self, we're going to do something today. And you end up mean. You know why? You trusted yourself. You let yourself down. Okay, I'm going to trust in people. God won't allow that. God will not allow you to trust in people. Well, look at these people down here. I'd be afraid to be standing in that crew down there. You might be next. He trusted God. I'd be afraid of people like that. Ooh, that must have been a fearful thing. The spirit of fear and hatred and malice that was down inside. I wouldn't trust none of them folks. I said, let me out of here. Ooh, don't join in on that kind of talk is what I'm saying. He trusted God. If you have him, let him come and get him. You don't have no reason to be ashamed of your faith. Go ahead and trust in God. And yet, let's go on. The Savior did not wear any peculiar sort of garb or any kind of token by which he would let men know that he trusted in God. He simply went ahead and did the thing. He was so perfectly a man that although that he was a Jew, there were no Jewish peculiarities about him that made him think, well, this is a pure Jew. I mean, you know, I mean, there's nothing there. Any nation might claim him. But no nation could own him. And we're talking about God. He belongs to all mankind. To the Greek, he speaks Greek. And to the Germans, he speaks German. And to the Swedish, he talks Swedish. And to the Russians, he talks Russian. And to the Chinese, he talks Chinese. And to the North Side guys, he talks North Side talk. And the Northeast, he talks Northeast. He belongs to all folks. To the New York gangs, he speaks their language. And to King James, the King Jamesites. He is all things, it says in the Bible, to all men. But one thing that distinguished him to us all is he trusted God. He is our pattern. And didn't his wife show it? Was there any other ever spoke of that way that hung on a cross? He trusted God. I hope they say that about me. I mean, if they say everything else in the whole of my life, I would love to have them give the testimony for me that he dared to trust God. Wouldn't you? Now, did Jesus trust in these people? No. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But how did they know that he trusted in God? Because he taught about God? Because he talked about God? Because he prayed to God? Because of his miracles? His talk was always about God. He related to God. It led to God. He magnified God. See, a man is judged by what he makes the most of. And don't people make a whole lot of a little thing? Don't they? And you just tell them, and say, man, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Man, why are you making such a big thing out of this? There's nothing. You can always tell a man by what comes out of that man. And you can always tell the ruling passion is a fair gauge of the man's heart. What rules you? See, if you got a work to do and that work that God gives you is ruling you, it's really a gauge of the person. How seriously do you take what God has entrusted to you to do? Have you trusted God to help you in this situation? See, faith is a soul ruler. It sways man like a rudder on a ship. See, if you trust in God and you have faith in God, you're always going to be on course. You might have a lot of stormy seas. You might have a lot of storms coming, but if you dare to trust the Lord, I'll tell you one thing that I've learned in my walk, is if you dare to trust God, he will deliver you in his time. In his time. And when we start to live in faith in God, it shows up. It shows up in our conversation. It shows up in our going on and keeping on and keeping on. Our hearing becomes impaired as to what the world has to say. Our actions show it until men know it. He trusts in God. I've had people ask me several times, what makes you run? Why are you still persevering? And why are you still down there on the north side? And why? I'm trusting in God. It irritates folks. Don't it? Well, irritated them so bad about Jesus, they threw him up on a cross on a hill far away. And they spat at him and they, flipped their lip out there at him and they just gave him all manner of scorn. Oh, my. Now, the unbelieving world right now is saying there is no God. That's what Russia says. Not the Russian people, the Russian government. Then some believe there is a God, but he is far removed. Oh, there's a God up somewhere. And our Lord Jesus Christ was God, it says, God of all, in all. See, Jesus believed in God. We believe in our pattern. Hallelujah. And we start to believe in Jesus Christ and the works that he's done. And the works, Jesus said, I don't take credit for them. They came from the Father. Do you dare to believe God today? And then we're going to have the most careless onlookers. And they will begin to say of you, he trusted in God. Well, what good is God? They'll ask you that. Randy's looking for a job now. Not just you, people all over are looking for a job. And you say, I'm trusting in God. Well, did God get you a job? Well, did he? No, he didn't get me a job yet, but I put my order in for one, okay? Put your order in for one. Then get busy doing the Lord's work. You're going to have to trust in God in circumstances. Hellish circumstances, you're going to have to trust in the Lord. You came down here and we put you in charge of this and that and so on down here, and you had to trust in God. Did you? Yeah. Who's that little twerp down there telling us what to do? Who's she? Well, somebody I put in charge. That's who? Well, I says, she's going to learn how to trust in God, and you're going to help her. See, people help you if you allow them to. They help you trust in God, because you can't trust them. You can't trust yourself. Now, if you trusted in yourself and you got discouraged, you say, hey, I quit. I've had enough. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that? Hey, that's enough trusting in you. I've had enough. Are you hearing it? And preachers, when you have to dare to trust God, that's another thing. Every trial, every tribulation, all kinds of things are going to come your way. Do you still dare to trust God? Are you hearing this? Oh, and then there's the people that are, Jesus never trusted in himself. No way. Also, I should say, men came to know that not only was he a trusting man, but he was not a self-confident man. Jesus wasn't that. He didn't trust in himself. Many people are proud because they are self. I'm a self-made man. I told a guy when he came in, he said, well, I'm near a millionaire now. I'm self-made. Got everything myself. I only went through the fifth grade. And I was thinking, yeah, you're showing how stupid you are right now by saying that. Only went through the fifth grade. Everything I got, I got the hard way. Come up the ranks. Yeah, and I thought to myself, you could lose it in a minute. Now, how easy it's to lose your wealth? Can fade in a hurry. And he went on and on and on about himself. I'm self-made. But these people are self-sufficient, and they sneer at those who don't succeed. They don't want to help them. Hey, I made it on my own. You make it on your own. And you know why they feel that way? Because wherever they go, it seems like they succeed. The world to them is sort of like a football, and they kick it around whenever they feel like it. But see, Jesus had none of this. They couldn't say of him that he had great self-reliance, that he had great confidence. No, they said he trusted in God. They didn't say, oh man, he has great self-reliance. I've never seen a man with so much confidence in himself. He's going to make it because he has confidence in himself, and he has positive faith and positive preaching, and he knows the prosperity message. And so all of those things, knowing all those things, how can he go wrong? He'll just confess those things to be his own, and he'll never go through any kind of trial or anything like that. Then they couldn't have said that he had trusted in God. They would have said he's self-reliant, he's very confident in himself, he carries himself well, and he knows what he's talking about, he's good at arithmetic, and so on like that, and things add up for him. And he's a real, huh? No. No. See, that would ruin the story, wouldn't it? The words which he spake, it said he spake not of himself, and the great deeds that he did, he never boasted of, but he said like this, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth these works. He wasn't taking credit. Well, I prayed and I believed. And I know how to get a hold of God. Now, I've heard people say that and I thought, gee, that sounds rude. You know how to get a hold of God. I know how to get a hold of God. Well, what does that mean? How about simple childlike faith that sits down and says, God, I'm going to trust in you to deliver me out of this thing. And though yet that you would slay me, yet will I trust you, Lord. See, God, a God truster, he was a God truster, not a self-boaster. You beware yourself of self-confidence. You know what? It means a death in your confidence to God. Well, how are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm sitting on top of the world, huh? You're going to fall off. Never trust in yourself. Have you trusted in yourself? Did you trust in yourself last week? You ever had anybody say that to you? I trust that you will do this. You ever say that to your kids? No, I'm going to trust you to do this. Do they do it? No. I trust that you'll do this. I trust that you'll love me. I trust that you'll do this. I trust that you'll do that. You can trust me. No, you can't trust me. No. You got to trust somebody. Well, don't take that wrong now. You have to trust in each other. But don't trust in each other over God. You know, years ago they used to say, God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. And you know what? The modern teaching says, don't say that. That's negative. Claim that you'll be here for 1,000,000 years. I don't want to be here 1,000,000 years. God, I want out. How about you? Don't you want out sometime? I mean, you know, 100 years old, isn't that enough? Okay, 150, is that enough for you then? That's why God changed it. In the Old Testament, and people lived, you know, they're 900 years old. And no one knows how old Adam and Eve were. But see, in 70 years, you can get in enough trouble. God says, I'll trust you with 70 years and no more. No more 950 years. No more eons of time for you to live. You can think up enough evil in 70-some years. You can trust in me. Trust in me when I say I'll give you 100 years or whatever. Just trust in me, okay? I know what I'm doing. Trust in me when you're laying there. You laying in the hospital right now, are you? Are you laying in the hospital and you're laying there and you got tubes stuck all over your body and so on like that, and someone comes in and they pray for you. That's beautiful. They pray for the deliverance and pray for the healing and everything. But in the end, brother, you're going to have to trust in the Lord. And I've been to a lot of them when the people leave. And after they leave, they'll call up and I'll go up there and I'll say, well, I'm going to pray the same prayer they did, but do you trust in the Lord to take you over to the other side in case he wants to take you over to the other side? Have you thought about that? Going.